This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you? It is a chilly morning here in Phoenix.
It is chilly. And I know you East Coasters, you're probably listening to us and being like, what are they talking about? Like 50 degrees. Come on, Arizonans. Oh. Like,
well, okay. So here's my rule.
Thicker skin.
Exactly. Yeah. We do. Well, I kind of do need to. Like, I will say I've definitely lost my Midwest street cred. I used to have school canceled because there was so much ice you couldn't open the front door. So I have lost that street cred for sure. But I'm down here right now with a sweatshirt on, a hoodie over that, a fleece blanket around me, slipper socks, and I finally did the unthinkable. I turned on my heat because I can't feel my fingers.
That is the key. you turned on your heat or you turned off your heat?
I turned on my heat. I did the unthinkable. Like, I didn't want to turn on my heat this early in December, but my rule is once the house drops below 70 and it's actually in the 60s, I'll turn the heat on.
You got to do it.
I'll turn the heat on.
You got to do it. It's funny because we're at like the kind of in between time where it's like not heat all the time.
Right.
But actually, I think we've hit it where we don't need air conditioning much anymore. I mean, we're kind of chilly for December right now, but it smells like burning.
It does. And
that's part of the reason it hasn't been used.
I'm 50 bucks says by the end of the day, I'm going to have a sinus headache. And I'm going to be like, why is my head hurt so bad? Oh, it burnt off a whole year's worth of.
It smells like burning. And we know at this time of year, like, it's really hard dealing with the temperature change and then dealing with all of like the end of the year stuff, as well as the holidays and with work as well, because constantly trying to balance how we are doing at home versus how we're doing it at work, which let me say, I don't think men deal with the same issue.
They do not. It sounds really like you versus me, like us versus them, but it really isn't the same expectations. It really isn't.
Yeah, it's more of our social programming.
Yes.
Like, I always have to say, like, you know the part in the Barbie movie where America Ferrera's character is taking like all of the Barbies in the van and deprogramming them and like telling them how it really is? And once they realize, like, okay, you are in a system where you can never win, they're like, oh, I'm out of it. I don't want to be like a foot rubber anymore. And I think that's really it, because we are in a system we can never win. Like, this whole concept of the patriarchy, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. And it's where men do not have the same expectations put on them as women do. And for us to be socially accepted by our peers, by larger society, by our parents, by the older generation, mm-hmm. you have to fit in this little box. And when you realize that, you're like, well, screw that. Here we go. We are going to take it out right now. So that's what we're going to talk about today on the podcast. This managing this overcommitment that's caused by all these expectations that we have on us both at work and at home. And let's get on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
So we're not saying that we think that every single situation that it is men versus women and that women always get the short end of the stick. There are exceptions, but those are typically the exceptions and not the norm. In general, our female role in our family is that it is our job to work, to bring in some kind of income into the household, right? Take care of the family, which includes like the main bulk of the childbearing and raising our children, taking care of the home. Cooking, cleaning, shopping.
That's, I mean, it's a lot of cooking.
It is. And then when you add in the holidays, I mean, my husband is super proactive in everything, but I can guarantee you I'm the one that has to do all the shopping for all of our kids. I'm going to be the one that has to do that and do all the shopping for any gifts that go from our family to my family. Like all of that is on me. Do we have enough wrapping paper? Do we have enough tags? Do we have enough bows? When does it have to be done so that it's ready to go when we have our next family, when we have the family get together? Yeah.
I want to gently push back on you against this because I think that what you said, like, it's totally right. These are the expectations that are on women versus what are on men. But I think that knowing these expectations and then being able to communicate those expectations to your partner is the first step in really alleviating all of this overcommitment.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I talk a lot about my Christmas breakdown. And if you're on the No Guilt Mom newsletter, which you totally should be, go to balanceformoms.com.
There's a link in the show notes.
Mental note for you podcast listeners. Yes. I talk about my Christmas breakdown and how the day after Christmas, I was just sobbing on the couch because it was one of those Decembers that just leached everything out of me. Like I was doing all the decision-making and buying the presents and getting the wrapping paper and making the meals and coordinating all the holiday activities. And I just felt like an empty shell of a person where no one even appreciated what I did. And like everybody else had this wonderful holiday. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it sucked. It was horrible, but it has changed dramatically from that 5 years ago. I mean, this year, my husband, last year, he was in charge of buying all the kids' presents. And that means everything. He gets their wish lists. He coordinates wrapping. Like if he needs my help with wrapping, he will ask me if I can help him. And he does all of that. And he does such a good job. Like the kids would much rather have him buy their presents than me. I make them sensible and reasonable. And he's like, oh, you want this? Totally. That looks cool. And it's fun. And they need that. They need the fun.
Well, and I will say, like, you're right. Like, I guess it'd be like somewhat unfair. Normally, we'll sit down and we'll do the wrapping together. And my husband will take over the bulk of it because God bless his very, very neat persona.
Engineering soul. Yeah. He's not an engineer either, but he has that mentality.
He was, and then he left that field. But yeah, like he straightens the edges perfectly, like the bow and everything. And he even did ask me if we could get wrapping paper that matched our tree this year. So we even coordinated wrapping paper to our tree. So he's
begging for that.
Yes. Yeah, so he's stepping forward, but you're right. You can't ask for help or get out of the place where you feel like, the way I describe it is where I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I keep trying to get my head above water and I keep getting pushed down. So you can't get any help from that if you don't recognize all the things that you are doing. And like you just said, that you're the one who has the power to move forward with that.
Exactly.
There are things you can do.
You do have a power to change it.
Yeah. It takes a little bit of time, but you can do it. We can help you.
It does take a little bit of time. It took me like 5 years to get to the place I am right now. Because one of the things is when you first start talking about it, it isn't a magical switch that just goes, boop, okay, everything's better now. Like I wish it was. It is one of those things you bring it up and then you make a little plan and then you try that plan and that plan doesn't work and there's flaws in that. And then you try again and you keep talking and you keep talking and you keep like, and it's a back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
So that you do see the improvement over time with it, but it's also a lot to do with you out there, because there is stuff that you right now are saying yes to that could be taken off of your plate. For example, I get my brows waxed and my lip and my chin with all those chinny chin hairs, because I'm sure everyone can relate.
Yes.
And this wonderful woman does it each time. And she was telling me about her Thanksgiving. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I was cooking the entire time, cooking and like more cooking. And I was talking with her and I'm like, yeah. She's like, how was your sausages and mashed potatoes? Because this is what we do for Thanksgiving. We like get, yeah, we get pre-made sausages.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And my mom makes mashed potatoes and she came up and that was great. And we have sausages and potatoes, bangers and mash is what it's called. And I'm like, it was great. It was super easy. Like we weren't totally full. And she's like, yeah, I just had to cook all day. And I'm like, but yeah, I would cook all day. I mean, like,
yeah,
like we're just not into that. Like, and no one eats it. And she's like, yeah, no one eats it here either. And in my head, I'm like, why are you doing it? Like, why? There's no reason to put ourselves through all of these things for the sake of quote unquote tradition when no one even is like enjoying the tradition.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like it's getting set in those like little boxes of what we need to do. And we never have the chance to step out and be like, okay, what do we actually want to do? That's a question that I want you to ask yourself. What do I actually want to do? What is actually my priority in all of this? Is it to cook a bunch of food and feel unappreciated the whole day? Or is it to bring family together and have that time to connect and love and everything?
Exactly.
So we're going to give you some strategies about this and regarding time right after this break.
Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like it was such a short episode and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
When we talk about overcommitment, a lot of the suggestions you hear out there are, oh, you just need to manage your time better. That's like, makes me so mad, Brie, whenever that suggestion is given to women. You just need to manage my time better.
Here's a new calendar.
No.
This calendar.
Here's a new calendar.
Yeah.
Here's a new planner. Here, this will help you. Here's my daily routine. And here's what you should do each start of the day. It's just like,
Blah. And we're not saying that, you know, you can't find a new system, but a lot of times it's more than just your planner. It's a lot more than that.
It's a lot more, especially when you're dealing with the day to day. And like for you and me, we both struggle with ADHD.
Yep.
We both have shiny object syndrome.
Yep.
And it is incredibly hard to follow a daily routine without wanting to like jump out of your body and go running down the street. It's like the most crazy thing.
And I'm going to add that having had the majority of my career life where I worked in an office setting and then now I'm doing an at-home thing. First of all, just to be clear, I love working at home. It gives me so much more flexibility. And it's great with the whole, like, I'm now no longer like supposed to be somewhere at 8 o'clock and I'm leaving my house at 8:05, still trying to make it there by 8. So it helps a lot with that. But it is definitely hard to maintain that focus too, and keeping those hard-fed boundaries when you have things that kind of eke into it. Like, because again, like from working from home, you constantly see all the other things that you could be doing because you're here.
You do. And you're stuck also if you work from home with all of the home maintenance stuff. Because
that's what I'm talking about, right?
My husband, he tries to take it over. He really does. And it's not his fault, but it comes down to like the logistics of things. He's like, I would schedule this, but I don't know when you're recording a podcast. I don't know when you're going to be busy. I don't know what's the best time for people to come over. And I'm like, yeah, you're totally right. That's kind of on me because I have the house as my workspace.
Yeah.
And that makes it incredibly hard. And when you do that, when you work from home, it's easy to say yes to all the home-related stuff, but yes to all the work-related stuff. And then your brain feels like it's going to explode.
Because it is. Looking at evolution, it was not made to process that much shit at once. It was not.
No. So it's almost like you do need something outside your brain that you can refer to.
Yes.
And while I push back very hard against planners, I have to say using my digital calendar is like my lifesaver because it is the thing that shows me what I prioritize things as and what I was like, ooh, this was important that I really wanted to get done today. Oh, there it is right there. And then I have the choice to do it. Now, before with time blocking, and we saw this too with our balance members, we had people brain dump everything they had to do. Then they prioritized it based on what was it, a task, a B task, a C task, a D task. And it was always hard to figure out, well, what's an A task, something that aligns with your goals, versus a B task, something that needs to be done, but doesn't necessarily align with your bigger goals. And how do you categorize that? And then once you put it on your calendar, there comes the problem, especially like when I went through this, I didn't want to do it. It was like the calendar telling me what to do. And I'm like, no, I don't have the energy to do that right now. Or, oh my gosh, my child just is homesick from school and is asking me like every 20 minutes to get him something. Like I can't have that on my calendar. And I think that's what a lot of moms get into.
I would say
with time blocking.
It can be. Yeah. I mean, I think with me, a lot of the problems that I have with scheduling things, like they, first of all, like anything else, it's shiny and it's new and it works for a little while. And I will say there is something to be said for shiny and new, especially if your brain works where it likes the shiny objects. Like there's something to be said about that.
Both of ours does.
Yes. It likes the shiny objects and it's like, it absolutely loves it. So you try it for a little while and it works for a little while. But I think there's also something to be said for procrastination, because a lot of times those goals we have for ourselves, they're not easy goals. They're things that are going to take work. They're going to take changing things around. Once we get step one done, then there's still step 2 through 60. So with me, sometimes it's not so much of like, I don't want the calendar to tell me what to do. It's that my body defaults to procrastination. It's going to take it. It's going to be like, well, I know I put this on here, but technically it's not due till Thursday at noon. So if I started on Thursday at 11, I'll be fine. I can keep pushing off till Thursday at 11 and then it'll be, you know, great. Yeah. Like it's ignore the fact that I have a doctor's appointment at that day and time. That sounds like a Thursday problem.
Exactly. And I think like I would definitely do that as well, which is why I love what we found now and what we're using is called rainbow time blocking, where your tasks and stuff aren't necessarily prioritized due to like your goals. They're prioritized based on what you can put off and what you can move easily. Because it still goes through the same process, still brain dump everything, still categorize it. But now, instead, like it starts with red, where you have your A tasks, which are your appointments. Those are things with other people that you can't move easily.
Right.
Like it really takes some coordination to move it. Probably better off keeping that one and not having to move it.
Well, that keeps your brain from doing the whole, that's a Thursday problem.
Yeah.
To the ability to look at it and be like, oh, no, that can't be a Thursday problem because then that affects XYZ.
Yeah. B tasks are bottlenecks, and I make those pink. And those tell me, hey, if you don't do this task, it's going to hold up someone else from doing their task, or it's going to hold up something you want down the road. It's a bottleneck. So that's helped me get things done really well. Because here at No Guilt Mom, I write the newsletter copy, which is just like the little hello you get from me in the newsletter and the story right there. But then Bree comes in and puts in images, and then Christina comes in and formats it and copy edits it to make sure like we don't have horrible typos, as well as putting things that need to be done. If I don't write that,
yeah,
that puts everybody else off and puts more work on me. So that's a bottleneck task, and that's a pink task on my calendar. And that really helps me get it done when I see that pink.
Oh, and I think that that works like in so many ways, because that can also be house stuff too, like things in your family. Like if I don't do, for instance, at that bottleneck that happens to us every year, and you think I would learn, mm-hmm. is the, I'm like, the words are escaping my brain at this moment, physicals. Because my son has to get a physical before he starts band camp. Band camp is always the same day. It's always July 5th, always when it starts. But if I don't schedule the physical, then we don't get the appointment in time. And then he doesn't get his form signed. And then he can't participate in band camp. Now, granted, some would argue that my son is in high school. He is perfectly capable of calling and making his own doctor's appointment. And I hear that. And that is definitely something that is happening this coming year. Somebody's got to take on a little bit more because mom keeps forgetting.
It takes a while.
But that's a great example, I think, though, of a bottleneck. Like, because if I keep putting off calling the doctor's office because I hate making phone calls because I'm part of that generation of like, can I just email or sign up online?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Then that affects everybody else. It slows everybody else down. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we have three more categories in the rainbow time blocking process. And I have an Instagram reel on it, which we will put in the show notes if you want to learn more about rainbow time blocking. And it's something that we take all of our balance members through. So they get very, very proficient at it the more they progress through the program. It's really awesome. Highly recommend. And I'm not like fighting my calendar anymore.
It helps take off all that stress. A lot of the stress of it all being on your shoulders because there's a plan.
Yes.
There's a plan.
There's a plan. And there's also a, hey, is this really feasible for one person to do?
Exactly.
When you have to put it on the calendar, you're like, oh, that's not going to happen. Like I have to do three things at the same time if we want that to happen.
Right. It helps you recognize where you could use support because that's going to kind of lead us into our next section of having the healthy boundaries.
The healthy boundaries, and boundaries are a hard one, and we're going to give you some tips right after this break.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
So one of the big things when we overcommit ourselves is that we say yes to so much stuff. And we say yes a lot out of a sense of obligation. Like, oh, I should do that to be a good mom. Or I should do that to make the holiday special for my children. Like all of these things going through our heads. And we say yes, and then we regret it.
Yeah. Like the whole... I'm really torn on those, and I've seen a lot of posts of these lately because we're getting into the holidays. Remember, you only get 18 Halloweens, and you only get 18 Christmases, and then like as they're getting older. In my case, I only have, if we're going to go to 18, I only have two more Christmases. And I get that, yes, in terms of like kind of giving yourself the perspective that it only happens so many times. But at the same time, when you are stressed, that guilt does not help. That just guilts you into having to say yes to everything again.
It does. And also, like, I think those 18 Halloweens and 18 Christmas posts are based on a very limited view of parenting and a very short-term view. Because this was brought up for me, actually, by my sister-in-law, where we were talking about parenting. And she was talking about her aunt and uncle and her, like, her uncle's now relationship with his kids. And she's like, they raised these kids in a way that they were helping these kids. They were partners with these kids. They listened. They weren't authoritarian. They were more like on their side and guiding them along the way. And now she sees her cousins have this great adult relationship where they actually want to spend time with him. They want to be around him. And that is really the parenting style that we teach here at No Guilt Mom. We're not doing like an 18 and you're gone. We're making this long-term relationship with our kids where they do want to be around us in the future and they do come to us and they do see us. So in that sense, there are not 18 Christmases left.
Right.
There is like a maximum number because you're building a long-term relationship with your kids.
Yes. Like a matter of fact, one of our guests, Ned Johnson, has been on the podcast a couple times. He did say that. I think it was in his first episode. So I'll have to add a link to that here in the show notes where he mentioned that a lot of us look at it as our parenting, where our child is under our care, which is typically 18 years. We look at it as that is our time with our kids. But if you think about it, that's such a small sliver of their life. Like they have, they have so much more time that they're not under our direct care in their life. And he just talked about how like you need to think about that when you're having a relationship with your kids. Like, do you want it to be it's my way or the highway? We do it this way no matter what. Because that's going to more than likely make your child be like, yeah, I really don't feel like
peace out.
Rather than them wanting, like the example you just gave about your sister-in-law's aunt and uncle, that like they don't have that bond that they could have.
They have a bond, and that's like really what we're going for. So when you see that, you'll be like, oh my gosh, there are only two more Christmases left where I have to plan everything. And then they're going to start planning stuff. And then I just get to attend. That's awesome.
But I also don't have to take it all on, and I don't have to make because you know this and we've talked about it on the podcast, and I promise I'll make this little detour very short, but because we have great advice for you here. But in my case, having two kids in high school, one of them's a junior, I am definitely starting to feel the crunch of they're going to be gone soon. And I want to make everything this great, memorable experience. I want everything to be a Hallmark card at this point going forward.
Oh,
because I'm like, I've got limited time. But at the same time, I have to hear where my kids are coming from. And like, honestly, my oldest, the one that's making me feel like the Hallmark clock is like ticking down. He's stressed. He has a lot on his schedule, being a junior, all of his honors classes that he's choosing to take, no matter how many times I've told him, like, you don't need to take all AP and honors. That's what he wants to do. He has a lot going on, and he's like, as much as I would love to do stuff like all the time, sometimes mom, I just want to be able to relax and just chill out at home. And I'm like, okay, so so maybe we won't be going to this winter wonderland thing together as a family because the boy needs to rest. So,
and the boy has boundaries. Can we say that?
Yes.
He's doing a really great job at that because he doesn't want to overcommit himself.
Is he saying no?
Yes. And it's a great, great thing. He does not have it in him where he has to say yes to everybody to preserve their feelings. He's like, I really need this for myself. And you see that, you're like, of course you need this for yourself. Yeah. So it's really turning that now on us, being like, okay, if other people get to request that,
so do we.
We can request that as well.
Yes.
Yes. Here's the thing, though. When you set a boundary, when you say no to something, you're going to want to, A, walk it back. That's going to be a tendency.
Because it's hard when people aren't happy with you.
It's hard having people unhappy with you. And B, people are going to push against the boundary. They are going to so push. So you really need to have a game plan of what you're going to do. Because a boundary isn't about what other people do. A boundary is about what you do when the request or the action happens. So let's go into this whole thing about wanting to walk it back. Because Bree, you talk about this with Miguel.
Oh, okay. Yes. I wasn't sure we were going on that one. All right. So yes. All right. So here's an example of walking it back in my house that I am working on. And, you know, hands up in podcast land if you've ever caught yourself doing this as well. So I am stressed out lately. Dinner for the last couple months has been just my hell. It has been hell. Because normally I'm the one that does the meal planning because I know what everybody's going to eat. I've taken on that mental load of knowing what everybody wants to eat. And so it's gotten to the point where I basically was like, hey, I need you to start taking over dinner for me because it's killing me. It's far too much. I can't do it. I'm really stressed out. And so he has set nights that he cooks, but then my request came in and he's like, all right, tell you what, next week, I've got a light week. I'll do dinner every night. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like... Oh, I was like, heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Sounded amazing, right?
Yeah.
And then the first night comes along and he's like, so what do you think you want for dinner? And then I'm like frustrated because I'm like, oh, I wanted you to take on like all of it. So
like, yeah, decision making, everything.
So then what could have been a simple answer of, I really don't have the mental capacity to even decide on dinner. Can you just decide? Or me coming in, looking at what we have and like giving a suggestion and walking away. Those were two options that would have been perfectly fine. But no, Bree walked it back. Bree went into the kitchen, begrudgingly like opened up the fridge, found some stuff and was like, okay, I guess we'll make this. Next thing you know, I'm chopping, I'm cooking, and he's over there going, you know, you asked me to help you with dinner. I'm here. I'm trying to help you with dinner. I'm trying to cook it, but yet you're right there cooking dinner.
And yeah.
So
that happened.
Yeah. Like, so what so the moral of the story, ladies, is do not step in. Like, once you have set that boundary, you can hold that boundary. Like, a lot of us self-sabotage it. We don't even realize we're doing it because we stepped in because they weren't doing it the way that we were expecting it to be done in our head.
That's a big, big thing because we hear a lot about, you know, I can't delegate to my family because they won't do it the right way. And it's really reexamining the, is my way
the only
right way.
Is it the only way?
Is it the only way? Or is there other ways we can get this accomplished where it would, you know, serve the same purpose and reach the same goal, but just have a different way around it? So yeah, that's one way too, like the walking it back. Make sure like you're really, really looking for that. It won't be perfect at first. You're going to walk it back. I've walked it back before many times and had my husband come in and be like, I thought this was my job. And I'm like, you're right.
The point
it
is,
was your job.
Right? The point is that we all do it. It's about being aware that you're doing it and being able to go, okay, I'm gonna go do something else right now. Bye.
Yeah, it's like, I see that. I see that. So the B is knowing what to do when the other person pushes back. Like, they will push back, especially your kids, and you feel horrible. They will bring out everything in their arsenal of tricks to get you to do the thing they want to do. One of the things that goes on a lot in my house recently, especially with the holidays, is decorating. I am not a decorating fan. I really appreciate a well-decorated space, and I love it.
Yeah.
But all of the prep and everything going into that and buying all the things, it's just like my brain does not enjoy it at all. I hate it, making all those decisions. My daughter loves it. Loves it. So much so that Bree has co-opted her to help decorate for her party.
Yes.
Like, She loves it.
Take on the mental load, please.
Yeah. So my daughter is always asking me, she's like, when can we go to Target to get holiday stuff? And I'm like, what else do we need here? Like, why are we buying more stuff? And she will push back with so much. And once I said to her, I'm like, I don't like shopping. And so she immediately came back with, you don't like anything. And I'm like, ouch. Okay. Like, and that's where I was like, okay, we're going to stop this conversation right now because that hurt. Yeah. And I walked away before I said anything else. But just know that they're going to push. They're going to push. And that's in there. You know, that's what they do. And just know what you're going to do. A great thing to do is when you're hurt, own it, say you're hurt, walk away from the situation, and then you can bring it back up another time.
Well, that brings up a fantastic point. Like, it's hard to have a good, honest, productive conversation about your boundaries when you're mad. Mm-hmm. That's not the time. No, because that's when like hurt things get said and we bring up everything. Yeah. That's it. That's the kids that bring it up and it's us as adults that bring it up. So I love that point. Like, don't, when you're upset, step away.
Yeah. So like you can even use this phrase. I learned this phrase really helps me. I even use the hand motions with it. I just put like the stop signs in front. I'm like, stop right there. That hurt. And then I leave. And that's all I say. Like, I don't go into it anymore. I just stop the conversation right there. Because I was pissed at that one.
Well, I would be too. But I love that because it's very simple and it's to the point. You're not adding extra, like you're not adding 15 bazillion reasons why it hurt you, which you could. But in the moment when emotions are high, we're not really processing a lot of language either parties. Yeah. And
I feel like it wouldn't even be listened to. Like they wouldn't hear it in that moment because she said that because she was hurt that I wouldn't go holiday shopping.
Yeah.
That I said I didn't like it. And that's why she says her comment. She didn't mean anything against it. It was a hurt comment coming from her.
Well, the simplicity of that reminds me of my other phase that other phrase you probably have heard me talk about on the podcast. I like to use, I got this one from Dodie Bloomberg, who was also on the podcast, one of our like first five episodes. We had Dodie here for Positive Discipline. But I love you and no. Like I have to use that one a lot with my daughter because she's the one who, yeah, I don't think we can do that. But why not? But why? Mommy, I love you. And this is from a almost 16-year-old. She knows how to. And I'll just be like, I love you and no. I love you and no. Because I can't. I've already said no. And it doesn't mean I don't love you. But it's just, nope. There's no more. We're not going to have this whole, I'm not going to give you a million reasons why.
You have your game plan for what you're doing when the boundary is pushed against.
Yep.
And that's all we can do. So as we get into this holiday season, we're in the middle of it right now. And you're going for it for the next like 2 or 3 weeks. You still have a lot. Practice these strategies. See how they work for you. And for all inspiration for you every Monday morning, go to balanceformoms.com. Sign up for the newsletter. You get it when you get that like free task calculator right there on the front page. And we give you more of this great stuff because it really takes like Zig Ziglar, actually. It's a great quote. People say like they get unmotivated and it's like motivation doesn't last. Neither does bathing. That's why you have to do it every day.
Oh, I like that.
That's why you need to have that constant motivation and why we're so happy you're here at the No Guilt Mom podcast, where we hope we remind you of it twice a week. So for now, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. you get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.